Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning. This message this morning is a result of seeing it all over the place. And I want to start out with a question here. Why do we Christians get offended? If we wouldn't get offended, we would get along pretty good. But why do we Christians, of all people, why do we get offended? We make it about ourselves. Okay. Any more thoughts?
We have too much time on our hands. We're not busy enough. We're not involved enough in the work of the kingdom. And it allows us to have idle time on our hands. And then we focus on what's happening by people speaking to us.
Okay. We're not involved in the kingdom. We're all focused on ourselves, okay?
We forget our identity.
These are all good thoughts. And I'll give you the agenda I have for this morning, is that we as a body here could learn how to live together, interacting with each other without getting offended. Because if we can win that, we can get through all kinds of stuff. I believe another reason we can get offended is when someone says something to us and it touches a wound in us. They said something and it just went like deep. And I'm just going to give a very simple example. Say there's a person in here that was struggling all week, feels lonely in life, and they come and sit in the back and nobody speaks to that person. Then the same morning you have another person come in. They had a really busy week, and they just really want to be just left alone, but they wanted to take part of a worship service, and they leave, and they both nobody spoke to. The one feels refreshed, and the other one feels deeply wounded. So is it the fact that no one spoke to him, or was there another thing in the picture? And what I see from that is the one person was wounded. And I believe this is what I see all the time. If you work with wounded people, the chances for you to offend them is extremely high. And you do it without even trying. Because as you speak, as you interact, the chances to touch something that just simply hurts in their life is really high. And what I see with offenses is I have seen a lot of offenses over the last, just this past year. I worked through, I don't know why, but just seen there's a lot of cases that I saw offenses come in. And if we don't catch the offense in our life, and we don't forgive, this is the progression I see. I see resentment sitting in. I see walls coming up. I see bitterness start brewing in our lives. Then I start seeing the accusations coming out to each other. Then I see division. And division to me is death. It's where people are divided against each other. Death to a vision. Death to a direction. Death to something that you want to see happen in your life. It's just, I see death. I wonder, and as I was meditating on this, I was wondering from God's perspective, how many visions died because of offense? Because somebody got offended because of what someone else did or said. I don't have that answer. And here I came across one part where a pastor was bringing out why some people get offended. The pastor did not shake hands with me today. I was not given an opportunity to serve in the church. Nobody visits our house. The greeter was rude. It's too noisy. How could they say that about me? They don't appreciate what I do. And these are just really petty things. But when you stop to think about it, they happen. Another reason I think we get offended is Dale's mentioned that thing about knowing our identity. And I just want to speak about identity just a real little bit here. And I want to take you into in Ephesians chapter 1, starting verse 20. And I want to first paint a picture of where Christ is. And when he worked, which is talking about God, worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is Ephesians 1, where Jesus Christ is seated. His authority is far above all other authorities. And just to give you a little idea of the vast difference of authority, there's another place where it talks about that with the finger of God, Satan needs to go. And the picture I get is if there's an ant on the table, how much effort is involved in you if you don't mind squashing an ant? Does it take to squash it? I mean, it is practically zero. I mean, doink. That is the comparison of authority between Jesus Christ and the principalities of this world. And if we understand that, if you go into Ephesians chapter 2, 6, says, and has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the more we can grab a hold of that reality, I believe this is something you don't just grab a hold of. I believe this is something you grow in. As you grow in this and understand who Jesus, where Jesus Christ is, his position, and that right now, in your spirit, you are seated with him right now. Just because you don't believe it does not change it. But if you believe it and live it, it will change you. It will change us if we understand our position in Christ and to realize that our identity comes out of that. Of understanding who I am. And like I said, I believe this is something we need to grow in. It's not that you just get it one time, but you grow. As you grow and that becomes more of your fabric of who you are, realizing that in Christ, I am totally secure. I tell you, you become an unbeatable force. Because if you understand these things, so I want to encourage you to grow in that understanding. To grow in the understanding of who God is and who you are in him. As we do that, I do not believe offense will set in near as quick. What do we do if we get offended? I believe the first step is to forgive the one that brought the offense. If someone brought something to you and it just hurts and you feel offended, forgive the person. That's the first step. But I believe the second step is just simply ask the question, why did I get offended? When we get offended, our natural tendency is to boom, point fingers. We point to the other person and said, if you wouldn't have said X, Y, Z, it'd be all good. But I like to turn that around and say, why did X, Y, Z make you feel that way? Did they touch a pain in your life? Did they touch something that just really hurts? Whether you find out or not that, you know, the answer to that question, I believe the first step, you forgive. The second step, just ask Jesus to bring forgiveness into that area where there's pain. You might not even know the pain. Those types of pain often happen when we're young children, as in our grown-up years. Pain happens. And we get past it and we forget it, but it remains. I'll give you one really simple example. I was with a team of people. We were working with this one couple. They were in their mid-20s. And the lady, all her life, growing up, she wanted to be a guy. And here, the more we started praying into it and revelating, here what we discovered was, when she was born, her parents were very disappointed that it wasn't a boy. They wanted a boy. It was a girl. That thing that happened over the time of conception, over the time of birth, affected her for the next 25 years. It was a pain she carried and not even realizing it was there. But it affected her whole life. It affected how she interacted with other people. It affected how she interacted in her marriage. It affected her worldview. Do we need to find everyone? I believe the first step is just simply, God, that was painful. I don't know why. Can you bring healing into that part of my life? If that doesn't work, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking more questions. Saying, if it keeps repeating. But find that pain. If that pain, that insecurity isn't there, according to, I'm going to read one little scripture in 2 Peter 1:5. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Is that stumble calling, can you compare that to offense? I think you can take it several different ways, but I believe it also applies to be offended. I believe if we know our calling and we know who we are and we dealt with that pain in our life, the offenses will come to zero. Now, mind you, that's a journey in itself just to get there. But when I see people who are confident, it's people that go forward and all kinds of things are thrown at them and nothing stops them, it tells me that person knows who they are and knows what they are. They know the direction they're going. They know the purpose that they're doing. They believe it and they're going for it. And it's not going to stop them. When I was searching the scriptures, there is very little in about being offended. It talks about offending someone else, about offending a little child, but I could not find a lot about how do I respond to offense. But I did come across the word stumble. And the word stumble, there's several verses in there that I believe applies to this. In Psalms 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. And there's several passages that talk about stumbling. And in there I recognize that if we are secure in who we are in Christ, and if the Word of God is hidden in our heart and we're living out of that, offenses don't come. I believe we can live above offenses. I want to set that mark there and believe that as a body here, as we mature, as we grow, we can live above offenses. If we can live above offenses, we can move so much. There's so much more efficiency in how we live because we can say things how they are. And we don't have to worry about the next one. Well, what if he gets offended? Because offense does matter. Offense can do all kinds of stuff. If we bring offense among brothers, it's like I said, all kinds of, it's like one thing after another, and it can get really ugly really fast. But if we can live outside of offense, we can do a lot of things. Matthew 13:21. Yet he has no root in himself. This is the parable of the sower. But endure for a little time, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. what I see from this, and I saw this on in the news, people standing up for what is right, people coming against them, and they just wilt. Why? I believe it's because a lack of knowing who they are in Christ. Standing up for truth and declaring truth and not backing down. John 11:9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he shall not stumble, because he sees light of this world. But one that walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." And when I look at my own life, and when you look at your life, if we are living in freedom, if you are living in peace, if you're living with a clear mind, you can go through life and not stumble. Right now, just for a practical example, there's chairs all over this place. It is no problem. You can move through here running as long as there's light. You make this thing pitch dark, I guarantee you're not going to be running through this place. You're going to stumble all over the place. And I believe it's the same way in our spiritual life. If we can live life free of offense, in peace, in harmony with one another, we can run. There could be all kinds of obstacles in the way. The obstacles do not change. What changes is, with light, you can recognize it, you can avoid it, and keep right on going. It is impossible to live in life without obstacles. Obstacles are guaranteed to be there. Offenses are guaranteed to come in your life. Guaranteed. You can't get away with it. Someone's going to say something that, depending on your situation, would make you stumble. Every one of those offenses that come to you, you can either choose to stumble over them, or you can choose to step on top of them. But we need to learn how to live a life void of offense. And I believe right here are just some very good passages. I mean, this one here in John, when I saw that, it was just like amazing. If we have light in our life, we won't stumble. Now, going back to 2 Peter 1, I'm going to read a larger part of it. Starting verse 5. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I don't know if that excites you or not, the thought of never stumbling. I love that thought. That there's actually reality in life that you can go through and not stumble. I mean, can't you just, I don't know why, but that I just love that picture. Now let's take it to a body. Can we as a body actually come to the maturity that we can go through life as a body and never stumble? I know that's a high bar. But if the scripture says you can attain it, I believe it's possible. First of all, we have to do it on our personal lives. But I believe the next step is, I believe we can do it on a collective life, as a collective body here. Imagine how far you can go in the kingdom of God. If you would never stumble, that to me is huge. But again, anything that comes our way, we can either stumble over it or we can step on top of it. Because I guarantee you cannot go through life without opportunity to be offended or to stumble. It's going to happen. 1 Peter chapter 7, 7 through 8. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, and to those, but for to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief corner, and a stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word which they also were appointed. I don't know if you understand this passage or not, but Jesus Christ, if you read the Gospels, many people were offended because of him. He has a way of offending people like everything. But I believe the reason was he put out truth, and instead of dealing with the truth, they stumbled over it. And Jesus Christ, he's supposed to be the chief cornerstone that we build on, and here, if you're disobedient to the word, you'll stumble. So if we want to run, I believe this is the formula for it. We have to embrace the word. We have to embrace Christ, knowing who we are. And we walk with light. We can walk around the offenses because they're going to be there. You can either step on top of it and grow, or you can stumble over them and fall. Chances are we might fall sometimes. What do? We fall. First of all, you forgive the person who made you stumble. And you get up and you start doing inventory and said, why did that cause me to make me stumble? If you want to grow fast, try that method. That every time someone makes something, says something or does something that doesn't feel good, instead of pointing fingers, you take personal responsibility and ask the question, why did that hurt? Why didn't that feel good? What were they touching when, what was that, what that really just really ticked me off, made me mad? What was there? So that's all I have for this morning. It's still a little early. Does anyone have any thoughts that you want to share that we can have a little discussion on this? Martha, what do you have? You always have something.
I love it.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, and I'll repeat it back what I understood, is our tendency is someone comes and points something out, our thing is don't judge, back off. Number one is, are we hungry for truth? We are hungry for truth. Someone speaking to us does not cause an alarm. What causes the alarm is when, get out of my face, I don't want to go there. I don't want to process because I don't want to change. A person with a heart of truth will not run from criticism. Criticism can be hard, and I'm not even going to go from the angle that makes sure the one that's bringing the criticism that he's doing everything right. Just say he's doing everything wrong. Let's make it the worst case scenario. He's doing everything wrong. His attitude is wrong. His tone of voice just stinks. And he's just really ticked off at you. But what if he has a point? If we have a heart of truth, I believe we can somehow sift that, go into the Word of God, oh, he actually had a point here. Yes, the way he brought it was really stank, but there's a point. And then we can grow. But if we get offended with the way he brought the message, we'll tend to stumble and we'll miss an opportunity to grow. I believe, based on what I have witnessed, a baby that is born spiritually, when we are born spiritually, to the time we're fully mature, varies for every person. And it varies based on our hunger for truth. If we push off truth, we resist growth. If we embrace truth and embrace it and live it, we will mature much faster. So mature speed is based on us, what we want to do. Does that connect with you? Do we realize as a church, if we would take serious words, how fast we would grow as a body? If we would all love to speak into each other's life, and we would all love to receive it. Do you realize how fast we would grow? I mean, just think about that. Everyone here would meet up with someone, and they would start pointing out, I see this in your life, this in your life, and this in your life. The one receiving says, thank you. I did not recognize that, but thank you for giving it. How fast we would grow. I mean, we have one person and 50 other people. All 50 take their turn with us. What do you say? I'm just giving you the worst scenario. But I see the reality that if we're open to that, to what you're bringing out, Sari, that we're open to have people speak into our life, because I think we're our greatest enemy. We persuade ourselves. I'll give you an example. This just happened to me Friday night. I was talking to a young man, and their life was a struggle. But deep down inside, the young man said this, I don't need help. I'm good. His life was falling apart, but I'm good. Wow, how you work through that? What I mean by that is other people looking in have a tendency, have the ability to see some things that we don't always see. And if we allow that and we invite that, I'm amazed. I know it would majorly change us. Hannah. I really like that picture a whole lot better. But I will say, human tendency, and I'm not going to advocate that this is the way to go, but human tendency is a person can be doing 99 things right, and what is the first thing you see is the thing that just ticks you off. And you don't even think about the other 99. I mean, I'm amazed in business. You can do a job for something, and everything goes wrong. But what's the one thing they harp on? The one thing that didn't go right. But everything else was exactly what they wanted. Yes, Gillen.
So when they speak into that one thing, they speak with a little bit of a gur. And so we tend to throw the whole thing out. We don't want to receive it because we heard that gur. Might come out with the girl, and they might just want to come completely ignore us. We have to recognize it and say, okay, the girl has to go, and then be able to present what we have.
So these things, thank you, Galen. I appreciate those words. I just see that this area, if we could embrace this area, how vital it would be for all of us. You talk about iron sharpening iron. It will happen. And it's good. I'm involved with a number of different groups. And what I'm recognizing is the more mature the group is, the more they get into each other's faces. Just say it like it is. And do you know what? The person sits back and just takes it. But I believe a sign of maturity is the fact of how blunt we can be to each other. And not only we can be blunt, but it's invited. If we as a body get to that place. Now, this is the place I would really like to get to. I recognize the reality that a hurting person, to offend them, is extremely easy. I mean, you might look at them sideways without even trying, and they get offended. I mean, the amount of offense is, over the years that I have seen, was just like, come on. You mean you actually believe that hurt you? But we got to realize the reality is some people are just packed full of pain from head to toe. But I am longing for the day that they can walk in these doors. And the presence of God is so strong in here that they don't get offended. We're not there yet. But I long for that day. That as a body, our maturity level is to that point that nobody can't even get offended even if they tried. Any more thoughts anyone has? Go ahead, Dale. I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Steve. I was going to bring it up, but then you told me to come up, so I'll share it now. I'm thinking of on the other side. I mean, I'm hearing you saying that when these stumbling blocks come, we have a choice to either let us stumble or use it as a stepping stone. And I think a lot of times when we let it stumble us, it's at that point where we start kicking other stumbling blocks in other people's way, because, you know, a hurt always wants to hurt someone else. And if you look at it and, you know, who's throwing these stumbling blocks at you, I think a lot of people are people that are stumbling themselves. And so they're struggling, and so they are experiencing pain, so they want everyone else to experience pain. But the reason I say that is, let's be careful for us that we don't put stumbling blocks in other people's way. Because I think that's a dangerous place to be as well, to where we're trying to hurt someone else because of the hurt that we're experiencing. And so thank you for that, Steve. And